20 yards out!
That is a jewel from Jewel.
Tim Cahill has done it again! What a goal by Tim Cahill!
Thompson!
Oh, yeah. Five goals to Archie.
Yeah. Swing down, Paducah's header from North Melbourne. Are the league champion, Dark Lords on there.
On Halftime, the World Game with Carlos Alberto Diego from 4diegos.com. For auction your car, car auction this Saturday.
I've got a feeling, a win, lose or draw for either team on Friday night, he may or may not be satisfied. Carlos Alberto Diego, welcome.
I'm always satisfied, Harf, because the game is the winner for me, as you know.
The game is the winner, always.
Yes, I don't support always. Either City or Victory.
You support the game.
But, geez, I'm excited about Friday night. They're talking about a sellout, and why wouldn't it be? If anything, they shouldn't even be talking about it. It should be, like Victory the week before they presented the Premier's plate to them, when I said, give it to them now.
Yes.
This should be a sellout, and we shouldn't even be talking about it because it should be a no-brainer sellout.
I didn't mention it. You brought it up.
No, I'm just saying. I've just heard. I mean, why are we tiptoeing through the tulips here? As a sport, we're declaring. I mean, we had the whole of football strategy declared,
that,
yeah, the other day that, you know, are we sort of. I know we've had a little bit of a downer since the Asian Cup, as far as some of the attendances are concerned.
Yes,
and you know, you wonder why. Maybe people have had too much football this season. I'm not sure, but geez, I would think it's such a big occasion. The way City played on the weekend, you know, they really were very competitive, very resilient, and I thought they played a really great brand of football to win away from home against a very good Wellington Phoenix team. We know how good Victory is. They've had a week off though. I mean, this is a fantastic matchup. It's a one-off sudden death game.
Yes.
The ingredients are there. Everyone should be rocking up. There shouldn't even be a question about whether it's a sellout or not.
Well, you imagine that fans of City and Victory would be rocking up if they can.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless, of course, they're Collingwood or Geelong supporters, or Melbourne Rebels supporters, and they've got a decision to make.
Yeah.
And they've got a call to make, Carlos, because it's a big night. Friday night, we've got the Rebels, Collingwood and Geelong at the MCG, and, of course, the big one, the semi-final at Etihad Stadium for the A-League with the Victory and City. So unless they've got allegiances elsewhere that they might want to be drawn to, that's an option for them. But I would think that, well, they've sold 40 plus already, haven't they?
I would
imagine 50 would be the number they'd be looking for. Was it 54?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It depends. I mean, we've had like 50 pluses for Victory games over the journey over the last 10 years at different times, especially I think the game against Sydney in particular in year two, in version two of the A-League.
Yep.
That filled the stadium virtually, you know, a sellout there, but that was over 50,000, and there's no reason why we shouldn't get that this time. But just on, you know, we're always looking for hot topics, Harf.
Hot topics.
Who out there is torn? You've got your football, your AFL, you've got your Rebels, and you've got your A-League. Who's torn about where should we go?
Are you torn?
Yeah.
9429 1116, when the lines become open, which they are right now. Give us a call if you are torn, if you've got a decision to make for Friday night. Let's go back to go forwards, Carlos.
Yes.
And you touched on it there with City's performance over Wellington on Sunday. It was the most impressive I've seen City all year. Is that a coincidence, or have they been building to this point?
Well, Harf, I don't like to, you know, revisit stuff I said last week, but whenever they kick the hell out of each other at training, and they did it again. They started off training last week, kicking and fighting and screaming at each other at training after a couple of deplorable weeks away at Perth and away at Adelaide, and no one gave them any hope against Wellington. But every time they do it, and they've done it a number of times this season, they just almost refocus. The bitterness within the camp refocuses them. And they suddenly start getting a little bit more resilient. I thought they were terrific on the weekend. They never look shaky. They never look like they would. I mean, Burns and Bonaventure and these sort of players for Wellington are great players, and they did huff and puff, but ultimately they were in control with Paddy Cosnorbo playing a great game and the rest of them there, you know, and the way they attacked and the way they brought Josh Kennedy into the game. I thought he had so much. It was probably his best game for the season, not because he hasn't been up to it, but because they've actually found a way of servicing him properly, and he looked very, very dangerous. So, and away from home in Wellington, that's a big result over there. So I think they'd be quietly confident in the one-off game against Victory this week.
Was that the night when the team that signed Josh Kennedy said, this is what we did it for? Was that the game that they've... Because it hasn't had great continuity through the season, has he, since the start of the new year where he went to Melbourne City. Hasn't had great continuity in play, but that was the moment you think, well, you know, if you're going to sign a player, that's we want him for big moments, and he was there for that big moment for them the other night.
I'm sure guy, maybe John Van Skip, John Didlitzer, the football operations guy there, they'd be thinking, they probably were under a bit of pressure. I mean, he's their marquee man. He came in through the halfway through the season. There was talk about having a debilitating back injury that could almost end his career. So they took a hell of a, you know, especially after the Inglar episode the year before and the disappointments they've had with their marquee players. Again, with Josh taking a little bit of time to get fit first, but I haven't blamed him at all about his lack of goals. It's more about the service. And for the first time, some of the crosses they were delivering to him on the weekend was fantastic. And even ball to feet. He's been pretty mobile now for a few weeks, but they're now starting to find him and getting a really important goal. I think he'll relish. A guy like him has played big games all over the world for Socceroos and for clubs, especially in Japan too. A guy like him's going to relish the weekend. The Friday night's game against Victory, that's for sure.
Aaron Moy getting some big pump-ups from Kent Johns from Radio Sport New Zealand when we chatted to him at the start of this program this afternoon. I love the game of Navalu, who was awesome as well. You mentioned Big Josh. They've got some really good players in good form, and that would be ominous, I would imagine, going into a game like this. Just on Wellington and their campaign, it's over now. Kent was also saying the last 5-6 games, 6 weeks have been really disappointing. Can't put a finger on why. Disappointing crowd. It's got no real momentum over there in New Zealand. What do you make of Wellington's campaign?
Oh, look, you know, when you've got a player like Nathan Burns, who's just probably the gun striker at the moment as far as ball at feet, going at people, creating things, just an excitement machine, there's almost a feeling of him being only there temporarily. I don't know if they've signed him up for this next season. I know that they put a block on a really, really lucrative move for him to China during the Asian Cup, if you remember. Okay. I mean, that was going to be the contract that was going to set him up for life, and they wouldn't let him go. So, to his credit, he's played really good football since. But I don't know whether he's going to be around. I reckon if anyone in the A-League has got the funds, make him your marquee player. He's just an absolute gun, that player there. And Victory and City did such a good job to close him down on the weekend, but he still looked very, very dangerous. So there just seems their good players don't seem to be there forever. And that's what my concern is for Wellington. But they should be really happy with what they've done this season. They've had, I mean, at one stage 4 or 5 weeks ago, they looked like they might have gone on and won the Premier's plate. So
well, that's why they were disappointed, because they weren't able to finish off and not even finish top two. Well, that's all, the chance.
At the end of the day, that's a lack of quality. I mean, I'm not saying they're lacking quality, you know, in that team across the board, but they have players who probably don't belong in a team that wins the Premier's plate. But then they've got other players who are just such stars that it just brings everyone up on their day. So, I mean, Ernie's got to do a bit of work and probably get more quality across the ground. But he will. He's done a fantastic job with them too. I'm sure that he's already thinking about what to do next season.
Yep.
And I think they've got a little bit more money than what people think. So, yeah, no, they've done well this year for me.
What you have hit on a very interesting topic here with the people out there and listening in SEN land that are torn for Friday night. It's a plethora of footy action. There's the Rebels, the Collingwood Geelong game, and of course the City Victory derby in the semi. A lot of people are torn. Stephen Bandura is one of those. G'day, Steve. Stevie, we'll come back to Stevie. He's giving me nothing. Craig in Strathmore. Hello, Craig.
Alberto.
Go ahead.
I'm one of the torn supporters. But I have a problem with the soccer code, as in, it's to me, it's one step forward and two steps back. And let me explain, as in, you know, you watch a game, I love the skill, and then all of a sudden there's a decision that you don't like. It might be a scoring decision. And every league and code seems to have now, you know, umpires and replays on a scoring decision. And you can get involved in a game and you walk away and you think, well, that game just got decided on a terrible decision. And until really soccer fixes that, it's hard to, as I say, to go those two steps forward instead of one forward and two back all the time.
Is that too different to a lot of other sports, including AFL, NRL? There's a lot of issues with refereeing that people think
side
games.
Well, there is, but when you get a 1-0 scoreline, and like in baseball now, they have on the first base, it's not even a score. They go back to it. They have an umpiring, you know, they get go upstairs, and the umpire's 3 feet away. I can't even understand how soccer referees even go close to getting the offside rule right, let alone, being exactly right every time. And I think on every score should be a review, every score.
Well, Craig, FIFA have been against it because they're happy to have the human element come into it. And I think there is a place for to use sort of goal line technology and reviews of offsides. Those sort of things that can honestly get wrong. Like the assistant referees can easily get the offsides wrong because it happens so quick sometimes, and they can at that moment cost the team. To concede a goal. But I'm a believer that one decision doesn't cost you a game. I think your mistakes through the game and everything else that happens costs you the game, but not that one mistake. Doesn't matter how bad it is. And we've seen some bad ones this year in A-League. So, and I know coaches don't want to hear that, but they do use it as a bit of an excuse at the end of the game to take, to deflect any criticism from their team or from themselves. So I believe it's what you do across the game that costs you the game, but you do have these moments in games that could affect you at that one point in time. I agree with Harf. I think every sport has its frustrations. I mean, I think the AFL umpiring this year has been pretty good. I can't think of any serious stuff, but it's just a matter of time because we've been critical of AFL umpiring, been critical of rugby union umpiring, rugby league umpiring, basketball umpiring. I mean, I think every sport has its moments with its officiating.
Well, you've got people in charge of whistles. There's always going to be issues because of the human element, as you say. Carlos, not a massive issue for mine from the World Game point of view. Craig, you had your say, and this is the beautiful part of the open line. 9:14, 9:11, 9:16, if you want to tell us why you're torn on Friday night with what's on offer for Sporting Melbourne. Double pass to Capa Cabana, comedy show with Warwick Capa and Chris Franklin. All proceeds go to Diabetes Australia, coming your way. Craig, thank you for your call. We'll get to a break, Carlos. Many more people are torn, and I want to hear from them after the break. Mark, Tim, John, the others, we'll get to you very, very shortly. Back with more Carlos after this. Carlos Alberto Diego is with us. Semi-final Friday night between the Victory and the City. They tell me there's 45,000 tickets plus sold already for Etihad Stadium. It's going to be a brilliant night of football, but there are other options. The mighty Melbourne Rebels take on the Blues at Amy Park. Collingwood and the Cats are on at the MCG. And a lot of supporters out there are torn because of their love for all the codes and the games they want to be at. And Mark in Frankston's one of those. Mark, good afternoon.
How you going, boys?
Where are you going Friday night?
Well, look, I'm just going to sit in the man cave with the remote. But I'm on quite a number of Facebook pages for Collingwood.
Yep.
And what started out as a bit of a one-sided argument early in the week when one of the Collingwood Facebook people put in, I'm torn, what am I going to do, go to Collingwood or Melbourne Victory? Well, he got a bit of abuse because they said if you're a real Collingwood supporter, then you just go there. But then all of a sudden, it started to turn around. People from Collingwood were going, well, listen, what I'm doing, I'm going to the soccer. Hopefully Melbourne Victory kick a couple so I can nick off, get to the footy. If I go by train, it takes me 12 minutes exactly. If I get a taxi, it costs 9. So all these things have been going on all week. So they're hoping that Victory can put away the other place, City, early, and at the latest, leave halfway through the second half, and they'll get there just at three-quarter time at the MCG.
Well, for me, that's just so heartening because that shows me that football means something in Melbourne. If Collingwood supporters...
Four and one.
Yeah, that's right.
They're excitable.
They're excited.
Very excited.
If they're going to have to work out a plan. They're not missing their beloved Magpies, but if they're working out a plan to be able to see both, and it's important for them to do that on game day for the Magpies, for me, that's a fantastic win for football soccer.
Yep.
It is fantastic, and that's really heartening for me, and I think that's, we've got, again, we'll talk about the whole of football strategy and all that sort of stuff. For me, it's those anecdotal stories like that tell me that there's a little bit of a foothold here, but not necessarily going to take over anyone. It's just a matter of it means something to someone, along with every other club or every other sport they love too.
Mark, thank you for getting involved. If you're in the man cave Friday night, you're going to need some liquid refreshments. So I've got a bottle of white, bottle of red, thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way. We solved the property investment puzzle for you. Enjoy that while you're flicking on the remote. Jim's in Sunshine. G'day, Jim.
Boys, I need some counselling. I've just bought my friend of mine's got me in a corporate box at Etihad.
Yes.
Silvers. I'm on the board. I've got a dinner appointment for a national conference Friday night down at Williamstown. I'm a Collingwood member, and I've been invited by a mate of mine there. I've got three good luxurious items with the wife, and I have not told the wife that I'm thinking of going to the bloody soccer. So I'm going to have to hire a date, I think. I'm in a dilemma, mate. I've got my tickets. I've got everything. Look, I've been watching the soccer. I'm an avid Collingwood fan, and I can give them up for 1 week.
What about this? Jim, how big's the box?
Mate, I don't know how big, who's got me where or what they got me. There better be bloody something decent.
What about if you have the board meeting? Move the board meeting from Williamstown to the box while you've got the Collingwood game on the TV.
Absolutely. Great option.
Can you do that, Jim?
Carlos, what about we do a makeup for you, mate? You stand in with me with the wife then at Williamstown restaurant. I go to the big hopefully they'll go all right. Then I'll advance somewhere to the Collingwood game, and then I'll say to the wife, where did you go? Or what about you come... Well, I'm having dinner.
Yep.
Make an excuse to say there's a family emergency.
Yep.
And I've got to escort you to counsel you, and then we'll just disappear. That might be it.
Jimmy, just leave your number, and we'll discuss a strategy, mate, because I'm here to help.
Last thing you want to do, Jim, is leave your wife in the hands of Carlos. She's a very handsome man. Very handsome man. She may just fall for him. It's not going to be easy for her to just let him go. Thank you, Jim. I reckon you have the board meeting at the box, and then watch the footy on the TV. That's the solution, guys.
Nothing like a board meeting with the party pies and the pasties, little pasties too.
Yeah, that's right. And elite sport just in front of you. Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. Good work. John's on the Docklands. G'day, John.
G'day. Yeah, look, just a couple of twists on the torn bit. No, we're definitely going to the Victory City game on Friday night, but our family's torn. I've got two sons, and one's a Victory member, and the other one's a City member, and so... Jeez. The eldest one's taking the wife and the two grandkids, so that's four on one side. So my wife and I thought, well, we better support our other son. So that's three. So all seven of us are going Friday night, which is great. And then the other aspect is that actually I'm from Brisbane. So and with the game on Friday night, you've got a couple of Barisha and Barbarossas, who were Brisbane boys, and then you've got Partaloo and Massimo on the other side. So I'm really personally torn as well. So torn all the way.
But
we'll enjoy it. Right? But we all follow Barcelona, so that's where we come together.
Fantastic. So, John, are you a Victory or City fan yourself?
Well...
Oh, you don't know. Okay, you love the game like me.
He's not sure.
I'm raw because I've come from Brisbane, and, we had a lot of success, and... But I've been to a Victory game, I've been to a City game with both sons, and this is where we'll all come together on Friday night. So sounds great, and we're looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Well, that's being a family in Melbourne, isn't it, really? I mean,
that's right.
It happens across sports. Everyone loves their sport here. All these things it's chock full of different options for us, and even within families, I'm sure you get the same with AFL football and cricket and all the other sports too. But, John, it sounds like it's going to be a great night.
Good work, John. Thanks for getting involved. Milan is in Mornington. G'day, Milan.
G'day, boys. I'm a Collingwood Legends member, and... I'm also a Melbourne City supporter, and I can't believe it, but I've chosen to go to the soccer Friday night. I just think it's a semi-final. It's to get into the final, and I've been going to a lot of Melbourne City games this season, and obviously I've gone to every Collingwood match as well besides the one in Brisbane, but I just think this is the one, and I can't believe I'm picking something over Collingwood, but yeah, soccer's getting the nod.
Milan, 5 years ago, if you had that option, would you have taken that same option?
To be honest, probably not. I'm a City supporter, but obviously 10 years ago, I went to Melbourne Victory when they played where Collingwood trained at the old ground. But 5 years ago, look, I would have chosen footy all the way. But now, it's just me and my mates, we've been going to the City a lot this season. And look, I honestly can't wait. So, yeah.
It's a big occasion. It's a semi-final, as you say, and that's got to have some sort of weight in Carlos, you would think, particularly for City fans. It's the first crack at the finals for them.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, no one's talking about it, but can you imagine if City win?
Yeah.
And they make the grand final?
Imagine.
I mean, that could happen.
Can you imagine the SMS machine?
Yeah.
Next Wednesday, Carlos.
Oh.
Can you imagine the SMS machine next Wednesday?
I mean, no one's talking about the possibility of City winning.
We haven't discussed the game yet.
But there's no reason why... in a sudden death game, even if they're parking the bus, they're scrambling, fighting, kicking and punching from the 6-yard box and get up there once and score from a Josh Kennedy, you know, toe poke, they can win the game.
No doubt.
That's the problem with the one-off sudden death games.
That's the beauty of the one-off sudden death game. True. There's no problem there. That's the beauty of it. To Robert and Bentley before the break. G'day, Rob.
Good afternoon, guys. Is that a half's help line, is it?
What was that, sorry?
What's that?
Is that half's help line?
Yeah, the help line. Yes, it is half's help line.
I'm stuffed this weekend, buddy. Absolutely up creek without a paddle. I've got, well, it's my daughter's birthday Saturday, but it's her actual birthday on Friday. I've got tickets to the soccer because I forgot about it. Right, so that's us. Then we're Carlton supporters. We've gone to all the home games. We've lost all of them. We're playing Brisbane this week, and it's Mother's Day. And my wife hates the footy, and the kids want to go to the footy, but it's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day, mate.
What do I do?
I know, it's first world problem living in Melbourne, isn't it?
Mother's Day is a big day.
Yeah, Mother's Day. Everyone loves their mum. But I reckon you can probably reject all that stuff, mate, and go your football. You know, if they don't understand, if your family doesn't understand this weekend how important it is.
They don't love you.
They don't love you, no.
They don't really love you.
No.
I'm not sure that's going to get through.
No, that's true.
I'm not sure my wife's copying that on Mother's Day, or my mother's not copying that on Mother's Day. I'm not sure I'm going to run with that, Carlos. Rob, no. Hey, all we can say to you, Rob, is good luck. Good luck. It's dog eat dog out there. Just see what you got to do. 26-2. We'll come back with more Carlos. Game two of the Memphis and Golden State series. My apologies. In Golden State, at Golden State, the Grizzlies at the moment 41-35. They lead. Things not going well for Golden State with 3 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Memphis on top there, so I'll keep you up to date with that through the remainder of the program. Carlos Alberto Diego is with us in the studio talking effectively about Friday night's game at Etihad Stadium, Melbourne City v Melbourne Victory for the semi-final, Carlos. And the feedback we're getting off the SMS from people who are torn, they're quite upset about the situation.
Yeah.
Off Steve's, Mickey D says, love my footy half, but definitely watching the soccer Friday night. Anonymous says, I'm not torn at all. I'll be at Lakeside watching South Melbourne.
Yes.
Is there a game?
It must be NPL. Yeah, obviously. Yep.
Righto. Mark in Geelong says, not torn, never an option, but we'll keep it. We'll be at the MCG, but keeping an eye on the score at the same time, but only because it's Melbourne v Melbourne. Daniel says, my best mate is Geelong and Victory, and I'm Collingwood and City. After a huge disagreement, he's off to Etihad, and I'm off to the G. So it's causing issues in relationships, Carlos, this game on Friday night.
That's fantastic. I just love the fact that football's relevant. You know, football, soccer is relevant to people in a town that will always be dominated by AFL, and we all love that, but it's good that the football, soccer is relevant these days.
You love it when your doggies are playing like they're playing.
Oh, mate, don't get me started on the doggies. I'm actually looking at the fixtures these days. Who are we playing next?
Who are we playing next?
Chalking off the next 4 points.
They got to Kilda this week at Etihad Stadium after Friday night footy with City in Victory. Who's under the most pressure, Carlos? There's a big investment in Melbourne City, and they want trophies. They expect trophies. That's what they paid for when they bought Melbourne Heart to become Melbourne City. Or is it the Victory who clearly won the Premier's plate and have had the week off? Who is under the most pressure coming into this game?
The mind games started the minute the Wellington City game finished, and John Van Skip, I think it was in his press conference, turned around and said, well, Victory under pressure. We got no pressure on us at all.
Yep.
They're expected to win. They won the Premier's plate. They've beaten us twice heavily this year, 5-2 and 3-0. And even the game that we won, we only scored in the dying minute. So he's actually beautifully thrown it out there and just made sure that they're the underdog from the start. But I just wonder, City have done well to get to this stage, and what they didn't need to do is lose poorly against Wellington, because that's what they did last time they made the finals. But if they have a really insipid performance in this semi-final, and they won't, because the boys will just, if you're not up for this game, you're not up for anything. But if they have an insipid game and suddenly Victory outclass them completely, that's not a good way to end the season either. So because it's the one-off, it's, you know, sudden death, I can't pick between them. I don't think previous form helps. I don't think the fact that Victory have had a week off necessarily helps them.
Yep.
There's a lot of people in football who like the momentum, even if they've only got a 4-day break or a 5-day break, that's much better than having a week off, unless you've got serious injuries. But even then, you need to be able to have the extra, you know, extra time to be able to get your fitness up that you've, you know, you could just throw out that little bit by having the week off. So I think it's a huge concern for Muskie, but they should be, for me, if Victory play to their best, they'll win. Mm. It's City's got to play to their best and Victory have got to play below themselves for City to win. So, but it's just the one night on the night, who knows?
Who wins it for City? If City are to win, who wins it for them?
I think it's how they service Josh Kennedy, because if they're using him properly, not only is he very, very good in the air, he's actually quite good on the ground too, with the ball at his feet, brings other people into it. And I just saw signs against Wellington for the first time of him actually almost being on the verge of wreaking a bit of havoc. So, and we know that Victory, you know, the defensive half or the defensive part of their game, if there is a weakness, it's that. And I'm not saying that the back four are weak. I'm just saying defensively, they're not always collectively fantastic, and they've been found out at different times. I think we've got to see more of Robert Corrin. I mean, he was okay on the weekend. I think he's improving, but he's a marquee player. And really, it was only 12 months ago he was playing for Hull City, so in the English League. So, you know, he may choose this game to be a big, big game. Aaron Moy is the one for me, especially if he's playing deep lying midfielders and he starts spraying the balls around to his teammates all around the place. He's the sort of player that could unlock things and maybe score a goal out of nothing from a set piece or whatever. Of course, when you talk about Victory, you talk about the prongs half.
We love the prongs.
The multi-pronged attack. You know, the triumphant prongs in Berisha and Barbarousis and also Kalfala. And then you throw on Thompson, who's probably, you know, the prong in waiting on the bench. So for me, they're the winners. Of course, Guy Finkler pulls the strings in midfield too.
Yep.
So if they start off and they play that marauding style of football and they really get the pace up, play a really quick brand of football and get the tempo up, City might struggle there too. So it just depends.
They've done well just on re-signing. It's done well, the Victory, in the last couple of weeks, haven't they? Mm. We talked about Kalfala getting a deal done last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks
ago. And, of course, Del Pierre commits again this week. I mean, they've done really well with retaining these quality players, haven't they?
These guys came to Australia for a change. They came. They're good footballers who probably got sick of what was happening over in Europe and just come for a life, a bit of a sea change to Australia. And they found that they're in a team that can win things for a few years, and they're probably getting paid fairly well compared to what they were getting paid in second division in France or whatever, or maybe equivalent. And they're saying, well, why not? So I think more and more of these quality players. We see Thomas Broich came here six years ago,
yep.
And he doesn't look like moving at all. So there's some real, and Barish is another one. So why not come to Australia and become a really wealthy footballer by getting, you know, your $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a season and playing a winning team? And that's what Del Pierre has discovered in Kalfala too.
Well, they got the chance to go through to the final, Melbourne Victory, as of course do Melbourne City on Friday night through the semi. Ian Robson was with KB this morning on Hungry for Sport, the CEO of the Melbourne Victory. I just want to play you this grab, Carlos, and get your response to this.
The ticket sales that we now see for Etihad on Friday night, you know, it's clear that if we're fortunate enough to get through, and it's clear now that the game would be held at AAMI, there's no doubt that there's going to be significant numbers, not just of Victory fans and sports fans, locked out of the game, which would be a great disappointment.
Is that just one of the rubber the green type stuff for the A-League at this point in time, Carlos? Or is that not acceptable?
It isn't acceptable, no. Because if it was played at Etihad, if they'd booked it properly in the first place and they'd done what they could to secure that stadium, they would have filled Etihad. I'm not sure whether, without a City Victory grand final, you know, how many they'd get at the MCG. I know we speculated about this a few weeks ago. But, you know, I suppose Sydney Victory would be, that would maybe get 60, maybe 70,000. You get a lot of people coming down from Sydney for that game. Mm. So, and you get a lot of the neutrals going to that game too. So that would be a grand final that might get 60 or 70. But it was a Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory game that you'd had to play definitely at the MCG. You'll only get 31,000 in the grand final now. If Victory get through and they host it, they only get 31,000. I think that's the capacity of AAMI. Which is ridiculous, because they shouldn't have built a bubble stadium at only held.
They had no choice.
Oh, I don't care.
Because you have to care, because the agreement with Etihad was you couldn't build another stadium.
The state government can do anything. They can overturn anything.
You're not halfway through the agreement. At the end of the agreement, you can adjust.
State government can do anything if they wanted to. They shouldn't have built a bubble stadium that can't be... Unless you pull those bubbles off the top, you cannot put any more seats in there. Well, it is ridiculous.
Think about the positives, Carlos. The fact that that's now an issue. That the crowds, the size of the stadiums for crowds is now an issue.
You didn't have to be a football-loving Nostradamus 6 years ago, whenever they built it, to say that this was always going to be a problem. We were arguing it back then.
Not too many games are getting near the 30,000 in the A-League these days, Carlos.
Oh, but it was always going to get... I mean, even 10, 20 years down the track, it's going to be too small.
Well, by then we have another one, because the agreement with Etihad's gone out. So by then we can do that.
And we'll make that one 25,000.
We can make that sexy. Really sexy. We can go 120 if you want, Carlos. Just not sure how they're going to configure it. 11 to 2. We'll take a break, back with more shortly. Dan off the SMS says, half victory of getting 30,000 to 40,000 plus at Etihad in their second and third years. Get your fact right before making dingbat comments. That's what Dan says off the SMS.
Yeah.
I want to know how many games. Dan, give me your numbers before sending dingbat SMSs. And that was 7 years ago. Nowhere near it since. Carlos, let's move on because that's just rubbish from Dan. Let's talk the whole of football strategy, which you spoke about, which is for the next 20 years. Is that what we're doing?
I love 20-year plans.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I love them, especially if you're going to be made accountable to a 20-year plan. You've got a job for 20 years.
You know what? It's the perfect play because you can't be held accountable to a 20-year plan.
I love it. So David Gallop basically didn't call it a plan. He called it a wish list. And but look, at least they're thinking in the right terms, very strategically. I mean, talking about wanting to host the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, specifically to tap into all the young chickadees out there who want to play the game.
Love the chickadees.
And there's a lot of them playing in schools at the moment. They're playing, you know, socially. And if you start getting a real pathway for them and something to aspire to, like a Women's World Cup in your, you know, on your home turf, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The thing that they need to do, though, they need to get a professional league going, not 12 games where you're paying girls $500 a game.
Yep.
You know, it has to be a professional league of some sort. So find some money for that. I don't see that in their 20-year plan, but it's got to be there.
Forgive my facetiousness. Is there a 20-year plan to get a sponsor for the Socceroos?
I think
is there a sponsor?
Well, I'm assuming they would.
Still can't believe they've got a sponsor, Socceroos. Yeah.
No, but I mean, that for me, that was the thing that sort of really stuck out. The fact that they want to try and build world-class academies of football here, probably attached to the A-League clubs, that will prevent a lot of these guys who leave, don't get identified with the state teams and so forth. They leave and they go as 16-year-olds and suddenly discover them like a Massimo Luongo or someone like that, suddenly becomes a star later on. Keep them here. Let the career path go all the way to the A-League. We've got to be able to make sure, and Ange Postecoglou estimates there's about 3,000 players out there that are not being identified who are probably good enough for elite programs. That's male and female.
Yep.
And that's why I think if you can somehow have a system or some sort of a talent ID where you can identify these people and give them somewhere to go in maybe the 10 academies, and maybe NPL clubs can have these world-class academies too. Suddenly, they'll want to stay here and they want to be developed properly because they'll have world-class coaching and hopefully world-class facilities.
So are there pillars? Are there pillars of the 20-year plan? What are the pillars, Carlos?
It's literally a wish list. I have not seen the actual document, but a lot of it's not about the A-League and it's not about the Socceroos. It's actually about...
No, that's good. It's got to be about the game.
It's about the grassroots. It's about community football. It's about getting into schools properly in a very strategic way. And I know that they're doing something there at FFA at the moment, driving programs into schools. But they're doing it in a more thoughtful way rather than just throwing something out and hoping for the best. So the fact that they've got a strategy and the fact that they're looking 20 years ahead, that's great. I just hope they've got the resources and funds to be able to follow through because, as I've always said, the hype always precedes the substance. And, you know, you need the substance to keep it going. You can't just keep build up the hype and the spin doctors saying all these fantastic things and suddenly the reality is we don't have enough money to do stuff.
We've got the sizzle. We need the steak.
Absolutely.
Give me the steak, Carlos. Feed the man meat.